as Americans have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter, finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, hour number three, KLZ 560. Myself, Greg Bloom, Barber's Foods with me today, Charlie Grimes, your engineer, and David Natal. Am I saying that right, Daniel? Daniel Natal, is that right?
Yeah, Natal is absolutely correct.
Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it. All right, let's talk about communist China. And man, they are everywhere.
Communist China. What you're probably alluding to, I did a video on the New American website on communism and its infiltration into our system. And so you see forces around the world kind of trying to reinvent old communist tropes in our country. As an example, like social justice, you'll hear social justice all the time. Most people are unaware that that was like Vladimir Lenin. He used to use that in like every speech. They used social justice, or white privilege. Back in the 1930s, the communists launched a propaganda campaign called white chauvinism. And a communist agitator named Belladad talked about that, white chauvinism. And so you're seeing that retrenched, and also on democratic socialism. Like you'll hear kids say, I'm not a communist, I'm a democratic socialist. And they're not aware that that was the political party, the communist political party Russia before the Bolsheviks.
It's funny, Daniel. And again, yeah, Daniel's from the New American Magazine. I should have mentioned that early on. But Daniel, when I was a kid growing up, I believe Greg, and I don't know how old you are, but Charlie here, I know all of us can remember back in the day, we would do the bomb shelter, you know, sort of training at school, get under your desk. We were worried about the, you know, the bomb being dropped by the Russians. And that to us was the, you know, what was going to potentially be the invasion of communism upon the United States of America. And the reality, Daniel, is that never happened, yet they still are invading.
Yeah, Graham Allison, who's at Harvard, he's a China expert, and he wrote a great book called Destined for War. And it's about kind of the rise of China and challenging America for supremacy. And he says in there, Chinese culture is explicit, like, you know, the art of war is that you never attack an enemy where he's strong. So the Chinese, according to Allison, would never attack us militarily because they'd lose.
Right.
So he said that they're very conscious of doing ideological subversion. As an example, if you looked at all the Antifa riots or the Black Lives Matter protests, they were heavily infiltrated by communist elements from China. And if you look at a lot of the banners they would have at the bottom of the banner, go to revcom.us. And if you go to revcom.us, that takes you to Revolutionary Communism, which was a Chinese website run out of Beijing. So they very consciously were trying to subvert us from within and make us attack each other, you know, so that we would collapse and then they could, you know, come in and kind of get our resources.
And right now, and I'm going to be bold and say this because I believe it's true, they now have a president of the United States that's very China-friendly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's been proven. I mean, he's taken so much money through his family and through other surrogates that has been funneled back to him, principally energy companies. So China right now is basically, I hope I don't bore the readers with this because it's economics, but they have a market advantage by using slave labor, right?
Yes.
And so they can make their products cheaper because they don't have to pay workers, right? So what just happened with fracking, our companies basically discovered how to make how to extract more oil from the soil, and we made energy cheaper. And so that created a magnetic pull for companies to leave China and come back to the United States because energy is an even bigger cost than labor.
Right.
And so if energy was cheap in the United States, then they'd come here, we'd get jobs, we'd get companies, our economic activity would explode. China doesn't want that. So China has been funding our politicians to do legislation to kneecap energy sector. So Joe Biden immediately, you know, kind of canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He immediately put us back on the Paris Climate Accords. He immediately started, you know, kind of hamstringing through legislation all of our energy policy, and China loves this.
Yeah, they do, to your point. And I think, you know, it sounds conspiracy-ish, if you would, for us to always talk about, you know, the Chinese or the you know, communism infiltrating America. But the reality is it's not a conspiracy at all, Daniel. They've been doing it literally through our education system for some 50, 60 years now.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. Although you have to remember, too, that China, in many senses, is a holding company. It's a shell company.
True.
For larger kind of global corporate interests.
True.
And so the larger global corporate interests want to dismantle nation states, and they want to create like a one world,
well, they want a world government
kind of system.
That's right.
Yeah.
One world money, one world economic system, one world rule. I mean, they want everything, you know, even all the laws that we would have. They want to control all of that in a one world government.
Yeah, correct. And they want like all the laws, what they call harmonized, you know, so that every country in the world has the same laws. Every country in the world has the same trade policies and tariff rules and everything else. And so they see China as the manufacturing base, and they see the United States as the agricultural base. So there's a move to deindustrialize us, turn us back into a plantation colony, and then we can be used to feed places like China, which historically have starved. China's 3/4 desert. So they don't have enough food. They don't have enough lumber to build houses. I mean, that's why they're doing incursions onto the Indian border and stuff, you know, the Himalayas and stuff, trying to get trees. And this is causing flash flooding because the trees would absorb the water. And,
right.
You know, when the snows melt, you know, it's causing all these issues. So they're very resource poor. So they look enviously over at the United States, and they see our wheat. They see our gold, our silver, our uranium mines. Like, everything in the United States is, I mean, we are supernaturally rich resource-wise. Like Carol Quigley, the historian, he said by 1900, we were producing more wheat than the next five countries combined. And that's unheard of for China. China has historically starved. You know, they're starving back in China, so finish what you've got. That was like a phrase by, you know, that our grandparents and stuff used. And so, yeah, they're very, very hopeful that the United States implodes and that they're the beneficiaries of, you know, getting all these resources. And that's why they're in here right now buying up all our farmland. They just bought Smithfield Ham, Smithfield Farms, you know, with all the ham and everything. So a fourth of our meat industry is now controlled by China.
And we've got an expert with us today, Daniel. You probably don't know this, but Greg Bloom from Barber's Foods, one of our great sponsors. And at Barber's, they're doing literally everything that you're talking about. They literally know the farm, how it gets processed, how the meat arrives at your dinner table. And, you know, Greg is probably as much of an expert on this as I will. I mean, he knows far more, he's forgot more than I'll ever know. Greg, weigh in here.
Well, I just think that he's right about China needing food. They're resource poor. I've been over there a few times in the last couple of years and trying to see about the opportunities to sell beef and other proteins to China. China will never be able to raise beef like we do here in the United States. They buy a lot of grass-finished beef from around the world, namely Brazil and Australia, but they like our grain-fed beef. As the Chinese consumers go climb the middle-class ladder, they have more disposable income, and they want to upgrade from pork. That's the main diet over there, is chicken and pork, because they produce that in their own country fairly well, but not beef, so, and not grain-fed beef like we have, because we have the grain belt, so we're the master of producing efficient grain-fed beef. So I believe that China in the next 5 years will surpass Japan as the number one destination for U.S. beef. So I think the way to deal with China is through their stomach. You know, we're going to always have diplomatic channels open because they need to eat, and we got to use that as leverage.
Yeah, and with the right administration to do so. Correct us if we're wrong, Daniel. Is that right?
Everything he said was on point. The jargon, right, is food security. So if you go read books like The New Harvest by Calestous Juma at Harvard and stuff, they talk about how very important food security is for countries and nation states, and how this drives economic policy and economic warfare. And so, yeah, I mean, like China right now is having trouble getting soy to feed their large pig population. There's just been a horrible soy shortage coming out of Argentina because their farmers were having a boycott. And so all of these things have geopolitical effects and ramifications. And so, yeah, so China is very, very nervous about its food security issue, because the Chinese Communist Party always, you know, is terrified of its grasp on power. And if the people are starving and there's some kind of like uprising, they're very nervous about that. So right now they're going all around the world. They're colonizing places like Africa, big time, trying to get raw materials. They're colonizing places like Canada, the United States. I mean, they're buying up large swaths of arable land and stuff, because they just don't have that in their country. Their country has rocky soil and monsoons and desert.
That makes sense. Daniel, how do folks find out more about what you've got going on at The New American?
Yeah, you can just go to thenewamerican.com, or you can go to our YouTube channel. We're on Rumble and Gab and all the other platforms, Twitter, of course. You can look for me, The Daniel Littal Show. I thank you so much for having me.
No, appreciate it very much. You're welcome anytime. This is good stuff. Thank you, Daniel, very much.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Take care. Good stuff. We'll come back and talk a little more about that, myself and Greg. As again, Greg is more of an expert on this than I will ever be. He knows the food industry like the back of his hand, and I'm not saying that because he's sitting here. I'd say that, period. American National Insurance is coming up next. Somebody that is very much like Greg when it comes to insurance is my insurance agent, Paul Leuenberger. He would love to help you when it comes to your insurance needs. Give Paul a call today, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance will make you financially whole. Losing your home or vehicle in a disaster will leave an emotional impact, no matter how much insurance you buy, but it doesn't need to hurt you financially. John Rush personally knows homeowners who have ended up in bankruptcy because they didn't have proper insurance. Even after their houses were completely destroyed, they still had to make mortgage payments. Imagine trying to find a new place to live while still paying a mortgage on your old house, which no longer exists. The same thing has happened to vehicle owners who continue to make payments on totaled vehicles because they didn't have enough coverage to make them financially whole. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance, will make sure that even in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
A good shop, Al Stern, would love to help you with all of your collision needs. And what I mean by collision needs is once the vehicle is wrecked, you'd like to get that back up and running again and get it better than new, back to OE specifications. And that's exactly what Al and his team at A Good Shop do. They're certified to do that for you. Three locations. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding A Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At A Good Shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because A Good Shop has three locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Greg Bloom from Barber's Foods, Charlie Grimes. All right, Greg, let's talk about China and the rest of the world and how they feed themselves. And I mean, I knew we did some of what you said a moment ago with our last guest, but I didn't know. I had no idea it was that big.
Yeah, well, you know, in China, I was in Beijing 2 years ago, and I got to go to their government-owned food importing company that handles all the food importing and distribution throughout the country, and they are food insecure, and they know it, and they're very strategic about where they're going to grow food. And decades ago, they moved all of the pig farms from the south that they needed for other uses and moved them up to the north strategically. So that'll be like in the United States, like the government telling all the cattle farmers, you got to get out of the south in Texas.
So you can't be in Texas, you got to go to North Dakota.
You got to go to North Dakota, Montana. That's it'd be like that.
Wow.
That, you know, the government's working that close with industry and directing it. And they do that similar kind of model in Japan too, which means it's kind of hard to compete with those kind of countries that
sure.
do that, you know. But
sure.
There is an opportunity for us in agriculture. They do buy a lot of soybeans. They do buy a lot of wheat. They buy a lot of all of our egg products they buy, even our pork. That's why they're food insecure. So years ago, I think 5 years ago, they came in and bought one of our larger pork producers, which your last guest mentioned, Smithfield. They may come and buy a beef packer, although the biggest beef packer in Colorado used to be Monford of Colorado, then it was Swift, and now it's owned by JBS, which is out of Brazil, and they're the largest meat company in the world. I think they have, I don't know how many plants.
So it's doubtful the Chinese are going to buy them.
Well, I doubt they would buy them because they wouldn't sell, but they could come buy another one. There's three other, I mean, Tyson has a plant,
right,
and Cargill has a plant. That's a private company. Mm-hmm. They could, you know, money speaks volumes.
Sure.
And if you're food insecure, then you're going to buy. So I think there'll always be ways to use diplomacy with them because they need to eat. And they'll be dependent on
us. As long as we don't give it all away.
As long as we don't give it all away. As long as we have fair trade practices. You know, and when I was over there 2 years ago, we were in the embassy in Beijing, the Chinese, the U.S. embassies in Beijing, and the ag team was there. And they were saying, you know, they've been beating us for years at this game of not being fair with trade policy. And no one's ever really stood up to them.
Until Trump.
And so it's going to be painful. The short term is going to be painful. And it was really painful to the soybean farmer in particular. Their markets collapsed. The prices. And they were losing money, and it was
South Dakota alone. I think, you know, they exported, I think, like 75% of their crop to China.
Right.
I want to say.
Right.
It was big numbers.
But they knew it would come back because they know that China is food insecure and that they can't do it forever. So, you know, the markets are back now, and they're going to be better now. And but, you know, you have to look at the long-term plan and not just the short-term plan. And it still didn't get fixed. It would have taken another maybe 4 years of holding out and working with them to get them to be fair. I think we did some good, but I mean, I'm not a trade representative, but I talked to the people who are, and they said they were in a good position for the last 4 years. So the next 4 years, we don't know. We'll see what happens. But
so, like I said earlier, we just can't give that away, which I'm afraid our current administration may, given the ties they have to China.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see who he puts in those key seats. And sometimes they don't trade out the people that are at the table negotiating. That's not a political job. It's more of a, you know, a long-term, you know, relationship. And, you know, the trade practices and all these fine-tuned legal
documents. So just because the head changes doesn't mean the underlings do.
Right, right.
You're saying that, right?
It's kind of like the bureaucracy, too. They're there for a while. You know, so
sure, they have a government job.
Yeah, they have a government job, and you know, they got a new boss at the top, but the rest of them are okay
doing their thing.
So I think some of that will happen. So,
well, this is fascinating. All right, one thing I want to talk about before we go to our next guest, which is we talked a little bit at the top of the hour, which is butchers, and I was talking about this the other day, and the fact that when I was a kid, you went to King Super Safe. I'm sure Charlie can remember these days as well. And you'd literally stand, I used to anyways, you'd go to the market with your mom or dad. And to me, it was fascinating to stand in front of the meat locker, the meat, you know, counter, I guess you could say. And there typically was somebody at the grocery store, even in the back, that was chopping up a carcass of some kind.
Yeah.
You know, something was hanging on the hook and, you know, they were doing their thing. And you'd literally watch a butcher in action through the glass at the supermarket. Do any of those guys even exist anymore in the supermarket?
Not in most supermarkets, not anymore. My dad's older brother, Ted Bloom, was a butcher for Safeway for all those years. And then when we were raising pigs on the farm and we needed someone to come show us how to cut one up, Uncle Ted would come over because he was doing it in the back.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you don't see that anymore. You don't see the quarters or the halves. No. And a lot of that's to do
See a guy in the back trimming fat, and that's about it.
That's right. And a lot of that's to do with food safety and efficiencies. But the sad thing about that is, to me, for most of us, is that when you ring the bell anymore and you ask a question about that meat, like what farm did that come from, and how do you cook that? Like, what's the difference between a Boston butt and a pork cushion? And I want to do a little smoking on my Traeger, and which one should I? They don't know. They don't know because they're not cutting it up, and they don't know. You know, they're not, you know, in that world anymore. So that's kind of sad. That's kind of a lost art, isn't it? But
no, it's become, instead of the meat market, it's now the deli counter.
The deli counter.
And they will take that pre-cooked ham and slice it thin or thick according to what you want and give you however many pounds they want, and they wrap it up and hand it to you, and that has become the meat counter at most supermarkets.
Right, right. They do have one.
I'm not bad-mouthing. No, that's just what it is.
It's just what it is. But they do have one thing over me, which, you know, I battle every day, is the reason why people shop there is because it's convenient.
Right.
They put one on your way home from work between the gas station and your house.
No, they know demographics.
You can pull in, and so, you know, when I ask people all the time, why don't you reorder from Barber's? Was the meat not good, or did you think our prices were too high? And they almost always say, you know, it's just so convenient because I'm there anyway. I'm buying produce, I'm buying milk, I'm getting my prescription, I'm da-da-da-da, and I get the meat. So I have to compete with that. So
that's why we need to get the other idea I gave you up and running.
That's right. And we're starting subscriptions. So you sign up for a box and you're going to get it every month.
Perfect.
And you don't have to think about it. It's going to show up.
It needs to be convenient.
Yeah. Right.
It's got to be convenient.
That's the thing I don't have.
You got to make it convenient.
Right.
All right. We'll come back. Don't go anywhere. We've got a special guest joining us. We'll talk to Greg at Barber's again with some other things, other questions I've got for him as well. And by the way, every time Greg's here, I learn something. So if you don't learn from him, you either know it all or you're not listening, because every time Greg's on, I learn something new. So we have another guest coming up here in a moment. Jennifer Vartanov is going to join us, and she's got a very interesting way of doing credit card processing. So for a lot of you that are business owners, you should listen up. And or if you know a business owner out there, you should have them listen to this next segment. She's got a very interesting idea on credit card processing. We'll talk to her in just one moment. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. Or if you want to get your vehicle fixed and or buy tires, it's the place to go. And by the way, they can take care of your fleet vehicles, where maybe you've got 10, 15 vehicles, or all the way down to just a one single personal vehicle you drive. You name it, they can take care of it. Extreme Auto Repair, 303-841-1071, or find them online at klzradio.com.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
All right, Kevin Flesh, if you're involved in an accident of any kind and you're not getting represented correctly, or like me, you've got an insurance claim going on with an insurance company and they're not responding, which I have going on right now. And I told Kevin the other day he may have to get involved in what I've got going on with my fire. That's what Kevin does. He just gets involved, he gets things handled, and he'll get you what you have coming, because that's what he does. He is trial-tested, trial-ready. Kevin Flesh, fleshlawfirm.com. It's F-L-E-S-C-H, or call him directly at 303-806-8886.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, offers a free consultation because he doesn't want the cost to stop you from talking to a lawyer. Suppose you had to pay a few hundred dollars for your initial consultation with Kevin Flesh. Instead of having a productive conversation, you'd be worrying about the money the whole time. Then, suppose you don't retain him. You realize you don't need his services after all, so you wasted your money. It's too much pressure. Kevin wants you to feel comfortable talking to a lawyer without the distraction of a fee. Call Flesh and Beck Law now at 303-806-8886 and schedule a free consultation with Kevin. He'll be able to tell almost immediately whether or not you even have a case. Kevin always tells people honestly when they shouldn't hire him, so you'll leave the conversation better informed without wasting your money. Talk to KLZ's personal injury attorney for free at 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Greg Bloom, Barber's Foods with us. And again, if you want to order something from Greg, just go online, barbersfoods.com. I don't say this enough. I need to say it more. If there's something you see, or if there's something you don't see on the website, doesn't mean you don't have it.
Yeah, just email us and let us know what you're looking for. We probably can get it.
Most likely you can.
Most likely.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll get our next guest going here right now, Jennifer Vartanov. Jennifer, welcome to Rush to Reason. You are owner and chief financial officer of Merchant Industry, with a product out that I want to talk about. I'm a business owner myself. This is very fascinating. Talk to us about what you've got going on.
Hi, good evening, John. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm the CFO of Merchants Industry. We have a program called Swipe for Free. We provide businesses with the ability to process credit cards. And what this program does is it eliminates the fees completely from the business owner. This is huge right now. We did $100 million in savings in 2020 for business owners. And in the time of the pandemic, this is just...
That's huge.
Businesses. it's saving businesses. You know, their bottom line is so small, and taking away that 3% charge that they have to pay, hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars that they have a bill at the end of the month, it really helps them stay afloat,
yep.
pay their employees, keep the lights on.
Now, I can tell you, Jennifer, and I was telling Greg this a little bit ago, I've been in business most of my life since I was 22. I was self-employed, and I sold my retail stores back in 2012. But prior to that, Jennifer, I can tell you that my credit card processing fees between my two locations annually was somewhere around anywhere from, you know, $90,000 to $100,000 back then. That's what I paid the credit card processors back in the day. And to your point, that was money that I could have used for all sorts of other things besides just paying a processor.
Absolutely. And nowadays, it's gotten even more expensive. All those fancy credit cards that are out there that offer the rewards to their customers, that all gets paid by the business owner.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I don't think people realize that. So walk us through, because this is something Greg was talking to me about earlier. Greg, by the way, is still in business and takes credit cards and does these things on a daily basis. Walk us through how your system works.
So you sign up with a contract. We provide you all the equipment. There's different types of equipment. Different businesses need different things. And we set you up so that every time somebody charges something in your store, you get the full $10. Let's just say someone's buying a pizza and a soda. You get the full $10 deposited into your bank account, and that fee gets paid by the customer.
I assume the customer on the front side knows that's what's going on.
Absolutely. It has to be displayed. It's just, you know, with the sign in the front. But when we're talking $10, $15 fee, even $100, someone goes to the grocery store, it's really a minimal fee for the customer, and it doesn't really hurt them that much. But when you're talking about hundreds and thousands, and like you said, you were paying around $100,000 annually, that's a big number for a business to swallow.
That's right. It is. Okay. What's the reception been like from customers?
I'll be honest with you, in the beginning, people were skeptical, people didn't like it, people were complaining, but we started this in 2015, we're in 2021 now, it's almost the norm, and especially in a place where, you know, we're located in New York, but I know you guys are in Colorado, I know people are hurting there too.
Yes.
Now people are accepting it much more because they realize this is the way everyone is going. The cash discount program is the way that all businesses are going. Nobody wants to pay for these fees anymore. They're sick and tired of it.
So I assume the way this would work, so I'll use Greg here, Barber's Foods, as an example. So they would go online, they would buy from Greg. As they're in their shopping cart getting ready to do things, there's a notation that says if you use a credit card versus a, you know, direct deposit or however Greg would actually do the other type of the coin there, it says right on there you will be charged an upfront fee of X to make this happen.
Yes, it has to be displayed, and, you know, it'll be around 3%, 3.5%. It really depends on the type of business, how much they're doing. There's a few factors that go into that.
Okay, so I know all the other technical things that go on behind the scenes I will not get into as far as the merchant services world goes and so on, but just real quick for the business owners that are out there listening, once somebody does this and they do the transaction, how quickly does the merchant get paid?
Next day.
So just like normal processing.
Normal processing. It doesn't change the game at all as far as, you know, next day funding.
Amazing. This is a great idea, by the way. I think
it's fabulous. See it more and more. I mean, you see it more and more. And you're going to go to the DMV and you're going to pay with a credit card instead of a check. They're going to charge you 2.2%. And then you go, I don't see it as much in private business as I do public stuff, you know, but I do see it. And I think that I would be reluctant to do it myself right now just because my competitors aren't charging the customer for it.
Let's talk about that for a minute, Jennifer. Let's say you're the pioneer in your particular city or your particular world when it comes to those things. Walk us through how that works if you're the pioneer of this.
I mean, honestly, you're not going to really get that many customers walk out the door when they see that sign. So they're going to have an option. You don't want to pay the fee, you pay cash. But people don't want to touch cash these days, especially with COVID. People don't walk around with cash anymore. The percentage of customers that you're going to end up losing are so minimal. And over time, I'm telling you, this is trickling down. Like you said, you know, you see it more maybe in gas stations, stuff like that. It's been in gas stations for years. You have a cash price and you have a credit card price. It's trickling down to small businesses. People are getting more and more used to it. Over time, it's almost going to be non-existent for the merchant to be paying their own fees.
Yeah, that was my next question to you. Do you see this becoming the norm in credit card processing?
Yes, where we are located, and where we do a bulk of our business. You know, we're in New York, but we do business all over the United States. But we see it everywhere. I mean, Florida, up the East Coast, everywhere. I mean, this is the norm now.
Amazing. Jennifer, how do folks find you?
SwipeForFree.com, swipe4free.com, or they can give us a call, 855-345-0040. Ask for Jennifer, or anyone can help you when they answer the phone.
This is awesome. Jennifer, I appreciate it. We'll have you on again. This is great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Good really night. Appreciate it. So all those of you that are business owners, something really to think about, especially those of you that are in the retail world. I think this is something that they are onto, and I could see this becoming, in the not-too-distant future, the norm for a lot of places. I really, again, being on that side, as I was for all those years, and writing, really didn't write the check, it just came out of your account. You never wrote the check. It just got directly removed from the next day's deposit.
I think it might work in retail, where, as she said, you're in the store, mm-hmm. you're not going to walk out. But when you're online, it's so easy for you to close that window,
go to
your competitor, I'm not paying 3%. And it just, I think it would hurt my sales if I did that, if my competitors aren't doing it.
I think you may be onto it. It depends on what everybody else is doing and what their prices are like as well. Jeff in Weld County, you're up, sir.
Hey, John. I just wanted to touch on that topic as well. I use a credit card at major retailers. I make it a practice to local mom-and-pop shops. I don't use a credit card at all. I pay cash.
Okay, so here's a question for you. If you had the option of either using your current credit card and paying that 3.5%, let's say, at the time of the transaction, or giving them cash, what would you do?
I'll give them cash.
Okay. Now, if you didn't have cash, which you're like me, Jeff, I always do, but let's say you didn't, or for some odd reason you just wanted to track it better, would you pay it?
Cash in my pocket.
Well, let's say this, though. Let's say, for example, Jeff, this is a business purchase or something along those lines where you want to track it better than what you would with cash. Would you then use the card?
A business purchase that I need to track, yeah. I'll pay it. That's cost of doing business.
And again, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer here. I'm just asking the question because I do like her concept. I mean, again, as a merchant for all those years, and I still am a merchant to an extent and take credit cards, not near what I used to when I had my retail stores, but I pay those fees even now. And I'll tell you, as a business, they suck. I'll just tell you right up front. Those credit card fees suck.
And they add up. And that's why I've always made it a point to – especially with local mom and pop shops, will not use a credit card.
No, I know with Greg, he and I've had that conversation. There's a lot of times where I'll buy something and he'll say, you can always go online and pay credit card, and I'm like, no, I'd rather give you a check because I know Greg's not paying the fee then.
Right, right,
yeah. Right. But I also understand Greg's point that if he did that on his website,
that's different.
It could hurt his business.
I agree.
Yeah, and either way, to me, either way, the consumer is paying the fee because I've inflated my price to cover the credit card fees that I'm paying to the bank.
You should be
so
building
you're paying it anyway.
Your price.
Right.
Exactly.
Well said. No, I can't argue. This is good stuff, though. I think that she's onto something, and I will say I think it depends on the business, the type of merchant, what kind of customers do you have. Those low-ticket items, paying another 3.5% for a $10 item is not a huge deal. But, if you're getting your car fixed and you got an $800 bill, 4% is a big deal.
It is a big deal, and most people don't, or I'll say a lot of people don't have the ability to, if they've got an $800 or $2,000 bill for getting their car fixed, they can't pay cash.
No, they can't, Jeff. They don't have that. They don't even have. They don't have that much. They don't have that much in the bank. Period. Nonetheless, cash.
Exactly.
No, good point. No, this is good stuff, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thanks as always. Good conversation, and I thought she would be an interesting guest to have on. I knew some of this existed prior to seeing her and looking at the interview there, but I think she's onto something. I would be shocked to not see this get to where it's more widespread.
I agree. I think in retail it'll be big because I'm not going to walk out of a pizza place because they're charging me 2% for my pizza, and that's fine.
You're just going to pay
it's like
and
a
move
convenience
on, right?
fee, and I'd rather pay the 2% than give up my cash. I don't carry a lot of cash, but the cash that I have, I need for when I can't pay with a credit card.
Well said. Mark, you're up. What's going on?
Hey, what I think is fair with this is maybe if you had a business to say, listen, it's 1%. Because at least that way you're not really hammering these people, but you're maybe you're not paying, you're taking a third off what you would owe the company. So I don't know what you think about that.
Well, potentially, I don't know enough about her system to know if that's a doable deal or how they, you know, whether the merchant can offer. I'm sure they could. I don't know why you couldn't set that up to where the merchant pays a portion, the customer pays a portion. I don't know. I just think, Mark, as times get, you know, as we get down this road, and inflation's going to happen, we all know that, and some of these, especially restaurants that have really struggled through COVID, I could easily see this catching on in the restaurant world.
Yeah, I agree. I can see it.
Yeah, I think it is catching on. I think it's catching on more on, like, these, I don't want to say ghetto, but, like, these gas stations and liquor stores that are, you know, like, the. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes. And she is correct in the, you know, the service stations, gas stations have really, they've done this for years, just nobody really realized.
You know, it's also similar to if you go to King Soopers right now today and use your ATM card to check out and you have to put your PIN in and you want cash back.
Now you're getting charged.
They say you're gonna pay 50 cents.
That's right.
They didn't do that before.
No, you're getting charged.
Now, and you know what you do? You say, okay, it's 50 cents because I need $20.
And you pay it.
You pay it.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I won't pay it, but I know a lot of people will.
No, I don't.
It depends on how bad you need the $20.
Well, I'm different. I'm still one of those guys that carries cash. I'm one of those freaks of nature that still carries
cash.
You
are old school, man.
I am old school.
Yeah, and I'm the guy who got kicked out of Chase Bank. You remember that I called you
last
summer?
Yes.
Yeah, so now I go to a bank where they only got 2 branches. And I have to call now to see if I can.
You
got to
get an appointment. I know. That's the pain.
Yeah.
I know, Mark.
Luckily, they're not busy, so normally they just accommodate me whenever.
There you go.
But it's just getting ridiculous.
I know.
Like, enough with all this.
I know.
At least the gyms are backing off, though. The gyms are getting less restrictive.
Good. Yep. Good. Mark, appreciate the call. Bill in Boulder, hang tight. We'll come right back and talk to you. Again, don't forget Greg Bloom with me, Barber's Foods. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, if you need help on your mortgage or just a rundown of what's going on and what your options are, give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Franktown Firearms, where, yes, they have ammo in stock right now. I believe 940 and 45. Call and ask before you head out there, because that could change even momentarily. But find them at, again, it's klzradio.com, Franktown Firearms, 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms, and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with the full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, closing in on the end of the show. Man, it has flown by today. I appreciate Greg Bloom joining us from Barber's Foods. Bill in Boulder, though, you're next. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, good evening, John, and hello, Greg. Nice to talk to you and listen to your expertise here. I wanted to, Greg, you were talking a little bit ago about just the convenience of going to the grocery store and buying their meat
right.
at the deli, at the butcher counter there. Well, I am, John, try not to stereotype here. You know, I'm bolder. I don't eat a lot of meat. I'm not a vegetarian. I'm a little afraid to prepare it sometimes. I'm just kind of lazy. But when I do want to eat meat, I want something good, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of the stuff that you find at the chain grocery stores, it's kind of disgusting.
It's not good.
Discriminating when it comes to that.
No, it's not good. So I agree.
I would be, you know, I poked down on the Barber's Foods website a couple of times, and I'm like, wow, that looks really, really good. So I would be inclined, you know, for those times when I actually do eat meat, I want it to be good, so I want to go to somebody like Greg or, you know, the neighborhood butcher block. I grew up in an Italian household, and you know, whenever we made lasagna or pasta or sauce or something like that, we would go to the deli. The neighborhood butcher.
Right.
You know, and we get the really good stuff. And
which, by the way, there's not too many neighborhood butchers left. There's a few floating around. I'm not going to, you know, badmouth any because there's some good guys in town that do it, but there's not near as many as there used to be.
Right. And Bill, I'd love you to, you know, go to our website and order. But Boulder, and you can say what you want about Boulder, but Boulder has a demographic of consumers that's fairly large that does want to know where the food comes from. So I do sell
right.
several independent family-owned companies in Boulder. You can go to Lucky's in North Boulder. You can go to Alfalfa's in Boulder.
Oh, really?
And we sell them all their meat.
Kidding.
Yeah, so, and they're independent family-owned companies.
Yeah. I know the owners.
I know the owners. They live in Colorado. You're supporting a local business. You're not buying from Whole.
And you're still supporting Greg.
Yeah, you know, don't go to Amazon. You know, Whole Foods.
I don't go to Amazon for anything. Period. I don't even buy a book from Amazon, especially with all the stuff they're doing lately. But, I mean, to your point, John, there's not many neighborhood butchers anymore. There's not a lot of neighborhood anything anymore.
No.
And, I mean, again, not to sound like your typical Boulderite, but I've done this. I was an AmeriCorps volunteer years ago up in a small town in central Idaho. I was making $900 a month. And it was a really interesting, it was a farm town, and we had a really viable downtown business corridor. Like if you needed a printer cartridge, there was a place you would go get your printer cartridge, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
And there was a good bookstore downtown. And we had a Walmart out on the edge of town. And even just, you know, making, you know, peanuts that I was a student at the time, I supported the local businesses. I never stepped foot in that Walmart. So, you know, I love it that you're so pro small business, and I really love it when you do have folks like Greg on who really can educate
appreciate
us,
that.
You know? Because I think that's really important. You know,
I do too. Here's what's surprising to you probably, Bill, and one time in Boulder, the Pearl Street Mall did not exist, and that really was small town Main Street in Boulder where you went and did exactly what we're talking about until the city made that a mall and screwed it up. It was a great place to go.
Totally. I still lament the Army-Navy store leaving. I mean,
yep.
You know, that was probably one of the last bastions of like a small
Agree.
Operation down there. It's completely corporate down there now.
I loved going to the Army store. I mean, I used to go down there and just hang out for a couple hours and just do nothing but look around.
Hey, Bill, I know you said you don't eat a lot of meat, but next time you're in North Boulder, go to Lucky's up there and go in the meat department and ask for Big Mike, good friend of mine, and
Big
ask
Mike?
Him. Yeah, Big Mike.
Okay.
Say, hey, Mike, I don't eat a lot of meat, but I want to eat something good. What do you recommend? Tell him Greg Bloom sent you. He'll set you up.
He'll take care of you.
He is a master butcher. That's one of the few master butchers
there.
You'll find left in the state. Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Big Mike. Yeah, I go up there frequently because they actually, believe it or not, they carry a small brand of coffee that's roasted up in Idaho. It's a friend of mine owns the company. And
nice.
Lucky's carry.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, so support Lucky's. They're not owned by Kroger anymore. They're owned by a local guy named Bo who lives up there. So you're
nice.
Supporting local guys.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks,
all right,
Bill.
Bill, thanks. I appreciate it very much. I do appreciate that. Jeff, welcome back. What's going on, sir?
Hey, I was going to throw a question at Greg with this whole Lucky's market conversation. How long have you been selling meat to Lucky's, Greg?
For a long time, since way before I purchased Barbers from the Barbers family 2 years ago, but they've been selling Lucky's before they were part of Kroger, all the way back to the original store.
Okay, because that was my Lucky's was always my go-to meat market in Longmont until they closed them all down.
Yep, that was part of their Kroger joint venture that didn't work out for
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
it was when they went corporate, and then corporate squashed them, you know. But now you can go to Lucky's North Boulder, and you can go Lucky's that was in Longmont is now Alfalfa's. So that's a local, locally owned guy.
Right.
Yep.
Do you supply meat to that Alfalfa's in that old Lucky's location?
Yes, in Longmont.
Yes,
and the meat manager's there. His name is Terrence, and he came from Lucky's. So you can go in there and talk to Terrence.
Very good.
Great guy. Yep.
That was my favorite place to buy steaks.
They have great meat.
All right.
Yep. I'll start going back there. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it very much. Got a text message from one of my friends, Susan, that said, I bought the Alaskan salmon from Barber's, and it's excellent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the testimonial. By the way, Taryn, our fisherman that we buy get all of our Alaskan salmon from, he called me 2 weeks ago, and his food service segment isn't coming back, so he had 3 pallets of these 5-ounce fillets that weren't moving up in Seattle into food service. So he said, can I send them to you? He said, send them down.
Awesome.
So I'll have those on my website next month, some 5-ounce fillets.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. So real quick before we take our next break, talk one more time about the new products you're going
to
sell.
Yeah. So if you go to our website, you'll see beans and rice. And you're like, wait a minute. I thought Barbara's Foods was all about meat. Well, we're going to still sell meat from family farms that we know. But did you know that Colorado is a prolific producer of the highest quality pinto beans available in the world? And we went up and did a video with Steve Winter on his pinto bean farm and watched production and watched him go from the harvest. He combined them, harvest them, tells us about how much he had to water them and what engine oil he puts in his tractor, all that good stuff. And they're all produced in Colorado. And so they're on our website now. You can buy them in 1-pound bags or 50-pound bags. We have rice and pinto beans there now, but coming up are 5 other kinds of beans and yellow popcorn.
Oh, and popcorn.
Yep.
Oh, you're kidding.
Who doesn't like popcorn?
Oh, me. I love popcorn.
Who likes popcorn?
I love popcorn.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
It's my weakness.
I'll tell you my story on that in a second. Okay. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Pure 4 Chevrolet is coming up next. Another local-owned business, like we've been talking really through this whole show. Rolly Purifoy and the gang up there would love to sell you a car, new or used. They would love to take care of you. I have bought several vehicles from them and will continue to do so. My C8 Corvette just came from them that I drove home last week. We will not find better guys to buy vehicles from, and I mean that. PurifyChevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Going into the showroom at Purifoy Chevrolet, one of the things that struck me is that the people that work there, they're just regular people. You talk to the guy that's helping you, and you get the sense of, this is just another person. He wants to help me. He wants to make sure that I get the right car. He's asking the right questions, but without being pushy. I just get a sense that he's really invested in what I need to find for my family and for me.
Rolly Purifoy is not somebody who would ever brag about himself, but he has an incredible history with Chevrolet, and that's why he cares about those vehicles so much. He's actually been a test driver for some of the models, and he's even had some input in the design. If you just ask Rolly some questions about his history, he has the most fascinating stories. He's one of those owners who will just chat with you like an ordinary person. He's just one of those people you really need to meet. I would highly recommend Purifoy Chevrolet. They're a really remarkable group of people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Loveton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. A minute left here with Greg from Barber's Foods. And again, I appreciate Greg taking time out of his day to join us. And it's always good. I learned something from Greg. I learned something from you guys as listeners. You are going to start selling popcorn. My favorite food.
Yeah, popcorn. You know, we're going to actually start putting a free bag of popcorn in every order at when we get it, when we get it in February. It'll be in it week after next. And that's Colorado. It says, has the Colorado Proud logo on it. It's all packaged in Colorado. A lot of it comes from Colorado, but not all of it. It's regional. Mm-hmm. But we've been to, you know, see one of the farms. And so the reason they can't all be from Colorado is because when you drive in rural Colorado, you see the silos. They can't have a silo just for Colorado popcorn. Now, they do for pinto beans because there's so many pinto
beans.
There's
enough to do that?
Oh, yeah. There's millions and millions and millions of metric tons of pinto beans going to Colorado, but not so much with popcorn.
Okay. Right. All right. There's your answer, guys. Find Greg again. Go to barbersfoods.com. Always enjoy Greg when he's in here. Again, I always learn something new from Greg. And order there, please. And if you get a chance, tell him you listen to the radio. It's a big deal for me. It's a big deal for him. But just keep buying food from your protein, I should say, or your food from Greg at Barbers Foods. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Don't forget, National Crawford Roundtable is next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.